Well, those of you all that was here last week, I kind of was wanting to go with people in the Bible of faith, and we talked a little bit about Joshua, and but we talked about how Joshua, at first, he was Moses' kind of right-hand man, his assistant, his aide, you know, because I guess I was kind of wondering myself that there was 12 spies, or 12 scouts, we'll call it, that went over, you know, in the promised land, right, to see kind of what was going on. I'm paraphrasing all this, by the way. So if you happen to read it later and you go, gosh, Brad, he's got a country hick, you know, trying to talk all this stuff. And I am, so, you know, but basically, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, there was one representative from each tribe, okay? Well, out of the 12, only two of them, Caleb and he was, I think, Judah, the tribe of Judah, and then
Joshua,
thank you, the one we're talking about, right? I don't remember his tribe, but anyway, they were the only two that came back with positive. All the rest of them was like, oh my goodness, we can't defeat these guys. These guys are giants. We're like little grasshoppers. And I'm not paraphrasing. They actually said that. We're little grasshoppers. And, you know, we can't do this or whatever. But Joshua and Caleb, or excuse me, yeah, they said that they could. And I guess I was kind of curious how, you know, Joshua was the one, you know, chosen to succeed Moses. And it was because basically he was kind of already in a leadership role with Moses as his assistant or as his aide. And the fact that he was faithful, you know, to God as far as, hey, we can, you know, can conquer this. So I was hoping that we could read Joshua chapter 1. And as we read this, there's a theme in here. And it's not just faith, not just a man of faith here, but see if you all can take it out. It said, I'll give you a hint, it said, I think, four times through the entire chapter. So I think you probably will be able to. But does anyone want to start out and read verses 1-6 for me? Or no, 1-9, excuse me, 1-9.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be made, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thanks, Sue. Mm-hmm. So what do you all think the theme is?
Be strong and courageous.
Be strong and courageous.
I think it was already said three times in the first nine verses. So.
Well, as I'm reading it, I'm going, well, I know what the answer is.
I'm happy to tell you that you guys are smarter than a fifth grader. No, I'm just teasing. And by the way, the only word I could pronounce in there was Euphrates, and I'm not great. It's just because I actually did cross it. And the typhus, so it was, yeah. And then, and I'm not bragging about that. I'd rather not been there, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Once again, it mentions how Joshua was, you know, the assistant of the aide, and how he succeeded Moses. And God is telling him, and it's mentioned three times here. I think it's because sometimes, I know I have a thick skull and needs to be said probably way more than that, but it's like, be strong and courageous, you know. I've got a note here in my Bible that says, Joshua may have been devastated by the death of Moses, a close friend, a mentor, and even a father figure. But he was immediately thrust into a leadership role for which he undoubtedly felt unworthy and unprepared. How could Joshua ever fill the shoes of a man who had talked to God face to face? Joshua dared not show fear before the people, or they would have lost confidence in his ability to lead them to victory. He needed to demonstrate a bold obedience to God's commands in order to ensure success. Joshua was able to do this because he was willing to seek God and surrender to him. Could someone continue on in Joshua chapter 1 and go from 10, and let's finish out, 18, 10 to 18, please.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And then the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and whether, wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.
I'm glad we finished off with that one last time. Right? Only be strong and courageous. Thanks, Mary. So, basically, and I wanted to read here. Well, the one comment I wanted to say here is that you have the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. I think they had already basically kind of been given their land, right? I think it was to the east of the Jordan or what have you. But they had promised, you know, hey, we'll help out, you know, when the time comes to defeat, you know. They could have just went back on their word, right? And said, hey, we're safe. We've got good land here. We can, you know, go ahead and go. But they kept up. And they're going to be strong and courageous, you know, basically here. Says in his new role as commander-in-chief of Israel's armies, Joshua commanded his subordinates to prepare their people for the new and difficult venture that lay before them. He then reminded the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh of their promise to Moses to fight side by side with their fellow Israelites until all the land had been conquered. Joshua was understandably concerned to find out whether they would stand with the main body of the people or defect from them. If they defected, war might have broken out, or at the very least, discouragement might have set in among the rest of the people of Israel. We need to continue to guard ourselves against discouragement as well, so that our spiritual growth will not be stifled. So be strong and courageous. Not discouraged, but although that's really the opposite, right? Just take the dis off and courage, right? Courageous. Courage.
I think this is, when you read through this, it doesn't give the gravity of what was going on very well, but yeah. This was like they were on the brink of a civil war. Right?
Yes.
Like if
yes.
these people didn't show up when Joshua told them to,
right.
this whole idea of a nation of Israel was just gonna
disintegrate, like, possibly.
Yeah,
right.
Into fighting, and so the fact that he was able to be a strong leader right away and get all of the tribes in line was a right. big accomplishment, and I'm sure God was leading that.
Oh yeah. I mean? Yeah. Well, he was faithful to God. I mean, and I think he was humble. I think he was modest and humble. Like, you know, gosh, you know, the guy I'm taking over talked to God, you know, through the burning bush, right? But it was kind of face to face. And it's like, I didn't do that, you know? I mean, how can I lead, you know? Of course, sorry. How can I lead? In this group here, and I don't feel worthy of it. But I think, to be honest with you, I think all good leaders potentially can feel that way, because we saw in Moses, when God said to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, what was the first thing he said? Yeah. And he talked about his speech impediment, right? I can't speak. And God said, well, there's no excuse. Here's your brother Aaron. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, but how great of a leader did he turn out to be? You know, I mean, now granted, he had some flaws. We all do, right? We're all sinful. I mean, he killed the one Egyptian, right? You know, and fled for all, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, that's, I hate to almost skip over chapter 2, but the only reason I'm doing it is because it's kind of a woman of faith, and I may want to do that later and talk about Rahab. So I'm going to fast forward, if you will, to chapter 6. And this is where, I'll tell you what, it'll actually be the end of chapter 5. If someone could read 13 through the end of the chapter 5.
When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in homage and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did that.
Thanks, Betsy. So again, this just shows Joshua's faith and his willingness to do what God wanted him to do. Note two important considerations regarding the identity of the commander of the Lord's army. He allowed Joshua to bow down in reverence before him. And number two, the place where he stood was considered to be holy ground. The new commander, therefore, was more than a man and more than a mere angel. He was none other than God himself. When Joshua recognized who the stranger was, he quickly deferred all claims of leadership to him. Like Joshua, each of us needs to relinquish control of our lives to God. It is never too late to acknowledge God's lordship over us and to ask him to lead us in life's battles. Could someone read chapter 6, 1 through 14?
Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat." How far do you want me to go?
14.
Okay.
Please.
"And the people shall go up every one straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord.' And just as Joshua commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests, were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark. While the trumpets blew continually, but Joshua commanded all the people, 'You should not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.' So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle around the city about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp."
Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
"Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did it for 6 days."
Okay, so I just want to paint this picture. This is the picture I'm painting in my mind anyway, but maybe you don't want to be in my mind, right? But this is a brand new leader, okay? And you're telling people, because I mean, for God, right, that this is what you need to do, to march around this city wall each day, one time, blowing a trumpet, right? I mean, I can imagine they probably looked at him and said, "What are you, nuts?" And number one, too, think about this. This is what I'm thinking, too. With a city wall, right, that's tall, wouldn't they have, like, archers or something, or towers and things like that? And I would have concern, you know, me walking around, you know, I'd maybe want a shield or something from arrows, you know, that are kind of shooting down at me or something. I just can't imagine the faith, right, that not only Joshua had, but then the faith that the people did, and the trust in Joshua as the leader, you know what I'm saying, to do that, and to do it 6 times, you know, once a day, 6 days in a row, right? So now,
and if they're totally silent, the people up on the wall are probably yelling insults at them, or throwing things at them.
Yeah, and saying, yeah, throwing, oh yeah, even if it's rotten tomatoes or rocks, or, well, yeah, maybe it's not even arrows, maybe it's rocks, or it's rotten tomatoes, or saying, what are you all doing? This is ridiculous. You're not getting in here. This is impenetrable. You can't get into this. You can march around this the next 500 days, and you're not going to get in here. So, you know. But they were faithful. They were obedient. They trusted. So could someone start in 15, and we're just going to stop at, well, no, I do want to read this. Hold on just a second. It says, "Israel was ready to attack, but God told them to wait. God required his people to do something that on the surface appeared to be foolish. There you go. I was thinking and saying the same thing. It says, they were commanded to march around the city day after day. The Israelites obeyed God and persisted in their faith, not fully understanding how God would destroy the walls of Jericho. If there are seemingly unbreakable barriers to our spiritual growth, God can make those barriers come crumbling down, allowing us to be victorious. But we need to do things His way, even if we don't always understand why. All right, could someone read from 15 to 21? And we're going to stop there. So.
But on the seventh day they rose at dawn and marched seven times round the city in the same way. That was the only day on which they marched round seven times. The seventh time the priests blew the trumpets and Joshua said to the army, "Shout, the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under solemn ban. Everything in it belongs to the Lord. No one is to be spared except the prostitute Rahab and everyone who is with her in the house, because she hid the men whom we sent. And you must beware of coveting anything that is forbidden under the ban. You must take none of it to yourselves, and this would put the Israelite camp itself under the ban and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold, all the vessels of copper and iron shall be holy. They belong to the Lord, and they must go into the Lord's treasury." So they blew the trumpets, and when the army heard the trumpet sound, they raised a great shout, and down fell the walls. The army advanced on the city, every man straight ahead, and took it. Under the ban, they destroyed everything in the city. They put everyone to the sword, men and women, young and old, and also cattle, sheep, and asses.
Thanks, Mike. You know, one thing I wish I had done prior to this study, and I apologize, I got back home like after 2 a.m. last night. So, but, and this is just Brad with numbers, right? But I kind of wish I had tried to figure out how long was it to march around? You know what I'm saying? Was it 1 mile? because on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. So I don't know. Again, I didn't look that up or I didn't see. But again, I can't imagine. And I did read chapter 2, by the way, Rahab. And they weren't afraid. They were fearful. They were very fearful because they had heard, you know, what happened in Egypt. They heard, you know, them conquering other folks, and they heard of this God, you know, of God, you know, the one and only God, and they were fearful. So I don't. That doesn't mean that they still weren't hurling insults. That doesn't mean they still weren't throwing rocks or any of that other kind of stuff. But they were fearful. Not Joshua, not his army.
It says their hearts melted.
Yes, that's what I read. Yeah, fear in their hearts melted. I was like, oh my goodness,
you're exactly right. That's what I read. So,
said once more, Israel had to wait. So imagine the patience that they had to have. They come out there 6 days straight, marching around one time. Then the seventh day, march around seven times. You know, says once more Israel had to wait. The seventh day, on the verge of initiating the attack, the people of Israel were required to march seven times around the city. They were also prohibited from enjoying the spoils of victory, which were to be dedicated to God. They were not to steal from God. Finally, Israel was given the go-ahead. In obedience to God, they pressed the attack and secured the victory, destroying their enemies completely. Learning to wait on God is part of growing towards maturity in our faith. God calls us to trust Him, especially when every urge is to move ahead without delay. So, I'm telling you, I'm the worst person to be probably teaching this because I have the patience of a gnat. But We really do, and I'm saying this probably more for myself. I'm not doing, because if I'm doing this, I've got a 3-point back, right? So it's probably more for me. So I'm saying this out loud for me, you know, selfishly speaking. But we really do need to be more patient. We need to wait on his timing, wait on him. You know what I'm saying? Because our timing's not perfect. Trust me, I know mine isn't. His is, though. And so as hard as it is for me to say we need to wait on his timing, we truly do need to wait on his timing because it's perfect. So. Does anyone else have anything else to add or say?
I think it's interesting that they were talking about how afraid they were of the people and how giant they were.
Yeah.
Right, and how they seem to be like grasshoppers.
Yes.
Well, when Rahab is talking about, you know, their hearts melted and the Israelites had defeated Og of Bashan and Sihon, S-I-H-O-N, there's good historical evidence that these men were like giant. Like,
right.
This, they found a 13-foot iron bed for Og, king of Bashan. So it's funny to me that God has already defeated like giants, and they come to this land and they're like, these people are huge, and they're afraid of them again.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the other people didn't forget that God can, you know, could do that. But it seems like the Israelites, it didn't take them long to forget.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up again, Mary. You know, we talked a little bit last week about giants, and I think I mentioned the movie. Have you all seen Facing the Giants? It's a football movie, but it's a Christian-based like movie. And I think all of us face our own giants. You know what I'm saying? And there's gonna be problems and issues in this world, but you know, don't fear, be strong, be courageous. God is, you know what I'm saying? God never forsakes us, he never leaves us. He's always with us. So I think that's, I think, he gives us the strength to be the Davids, to face our giants, to face our Goliaths, to face those things. We just have to have faith and trust and be strong and courageous. I think that's the theme for today, be strong and courageous. And I think I need that. So. Well, if anyone else doesn't have anything to add, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I think we're a couple minutes, well, maybe not. Oh no, we're running time, so okay. Dear Lord, thank you again for this beautiful day that you've given us. And Lord, we just ask that you be with Brother Tink this morning as he gives your message. We pray that there's one that doesn't know you as his personal Savior. They won't put that decision off. They will be strong and courageous and make that decision today. And Lord, just ask that you be with all the folks again that we mentioned on the prayer list this morning. You, maybe some that weren't mentioned. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the great healer, the wonderful counselor, Lord. We know that miracles not just happen that we read in the Bible, but we know that they still happen today. And in some of these situations, if it be thy will, Lord, we do pray for a miracle. It's these things we ask in your son's name for sake.